Welcome to Answering the Call with host Elizabeth Ficicelli. In this program, Elizabeth gives us a glimpse into the spiritual journeys of priests, deacons, and religious sisters and brothers from the Columbus Diocese who have heard and answered God's call. And here's your host, Elizabeth Ficicelli.
Hello, and thanks for joining us again on Answering the Call here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 and streaming live on stgabrielradio.com. I'm your host, Elizabeth Ficicelli. My guest today on the show is going to be Deacon Jim Sturgeon. He's from Portsmouth, Ohio, so he's going to be joining us on the phone today as opposed to being in the studio with me. And I want to start out by giving you a little background on our guest. He is the deacon at two parishes, at St. Monica's in New Boston and at St. Peter in Chains in Wheelersburg, Ohio. And professionally, Deacon Jim is a supervisor at a uranium enrichment plant in Piketon. So first, we want to start by welcoming you to St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820, Deacon Jim.
Well, thank you very much, Elizabeth. It's my pleasure to be with you and your guests.
And it's our pleasure to have you here. You know, Deacon Jim, I always enjoy having a Catholic convert on the show like yourself, because I think it shows us some of the unusual ways that God works in our lives. So start by telling us where your earliest inspiration for God and faith came from.
Well, I was raised Protestant, and my mother and father, they divorced. They had a rocky marriage, and my grandmother pretty much raised us because my mom had to work long hours and stuff like that. And my grandmother had a very devout faith. She was from the hills of Kentucky and not a educated woman by any stretch of the imagination. She might have gone to the eighth grade, but she had a deep love for God and a deep love for Scripture, and she always stressed that it was important for us to get to church. And she was Methodist by choice, and a lot of times I remember as little kids, we walked to the Methodist church, which was about four or five blocks away. And so from my earliest years, you know, we'd be walking to church on Sunday morning. And then as she got older and her legs began to bear the brunt of years of work and stuff like that, we began to go to a Nazarene church, which was just about a block away. And so it was always that importance for us to go to church. My mom never really pushed the whole notion of going to church. I think I can maybe remember, count on one hand, the number of times that my mom went to church, but my grandmother was this very strong influence as to in the development of my faith. And it's not like she was preaching on the street corners or mm-hmm. anything like that. It was just a real subtle faith that was so present just by the way she lived.
And it sounds like it took root in your life even at that early age. But your introduction to the Catholic Church would not come until high school when you started dating a young woman there, a woman that would eventually become your wife. So tell us about that part.
Okay. My lovely bride, we met skipping class. Yeah, I was, how do you want to say, as my chemistry teacher told me, I was a gross underachiever in high school. During football season, I made good grades, but the rest of the time, I pretty much couldn't care less. So I was skipping class, and I saw this really pretty girl in the hallway, and I knew she was one of the smart kids, so I figured she was a hall monitor. So I thought, oh my gosh, I got to get it out of this, or I'm going to get in trouble. So I started talking with her. I didn't know Mary before this. And so, you know, we started talking, and I found out that, hey, I'm not going to get in trouble. And by the way, really, I kind of like this girl. She's awesome. And so we talked, and we talked, and we began to date. And I remember our first kiss. She had just been nominated to be homecoming queen, and there was a bonfire, and I gave her a big kiss. But she, Mary, was a huge influence on my life because not only did I start making better grades because I had something to work for, but she was Catholic.
Mm.
And I didn't know much about Catholics. There wasn't, you know, being in Southern Ohio, there's not that many Catholics as compared to Protestants. And I really didn't have any negative stereotype of Catholics. I didn't, it was no more than I would have had a negative stereotype stereotype of Jews or, you know, or Methodists or Nazarenes or Episcopalians or whatever. But, you know, it was just kind of an accepting type thing. So I started dating Mary, and I figured out that if I went to Mass with her on Saturday, that I could extend our date by picking her up a couple of hours early.
Uh-huh.
So I started going with, to Mass with her on Saturdays. And it was interesting, to say the least, because I'm thinking, wow, what's all this? I mean, it's like he was getting an aerobic workout up and down and up and down and all the different prayers and things. And I'm thinking, you know, once I kind of see what's all going on, I begin to think, hey, you know, this is pretty neat. And so I became going to Mass with Mary on Saturday night. On Saturday evenings became pretty much the way we started our weekends, our date on Saturday. And so she introduced me to the Catholic faith. And then we continued to date through the rest of high school. Mary went to nursing school, and we continued to date through the times when she was in nursing school. And then after she got, you know, we had plans on getting married. Well, one of the things that I put a huge value in, or from my own upbringing, is that I wanted to be a mom and dad that was bound together, mm-hmm. not like the childhood that I had, because mm-hmm. that was pretty much, you know, kind of nasty. So I said, okay, for in religion and faith, I knew it was going to be an important part of it, and so I thought, it's important for us to be united in our faith as well.
Right.
So at that point, you know, I said, I want to convert, and I want to become Catholic. So I went to the priest and told him what I wanted to do, and he said, well, no, that's, you know, that's great, that's great. And so we got together for a few meetings after Mass, after, you know, and to be perfectly honest, I don't remember much about the, what we now would call RCIA. I really don't remember much about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I maybe I was, you know, just oblivious to it or whatever, but it didn't really sink in. And then I became Catholic. My family was, how do you want to say, my mom couldn't have cared less. You know, she was like, okay, you know, fine, you're going to be Catholic. My grandmother, she was a little bit more hesitant about it. Again, there's the stereotype from, you know, being in Southern Ohio, that she had of Catholics, and she had had a bad experience with a Catholic priest back during World War II when her son was injured. My uncle was injured in the war.
Mm-hmm.
And so she had this negative stereotype. Well, after knowing Mary for, golly, let me see, Mary and I dated for like 5 years before we got married. So my grandmother really got to know Mary intimately. You know, she knew her. She loved her dearly. She loved her as much as I did. And she saw that, hey, wait a minute. This person is a good person. This person lives Christ values, lives Christ-like. And so she says, maybe not all Catholics are bad. And so, you know, after I converted, I know I went and told my grandmother that I converted, because I kind of did it secretly,
right,
not to offend her. She said, with a no little bit of disgust, well, at least you're going to church.
That's right. So it sounds like your entrance into the Catholic Church was, like you said, for family reasons, to be united with your spouse, not so much a deep theological decision.
Oh, no, no. I went into it with the notion being that I wanted to provide for my family all of the things that I did not experience, or that I experienced in a negative way. I wanted to do a 180 from those.
Right. Were you fully grasping what you had done in becoming a Catholic, would you say, back then?
Totally clueless. Totally clueless. As I said, maybe during my instructions, the priest talked about things like sacraments and what all I was getting involved in and what all it was to be Catholic. And maybe because I'm not the sharpest tack in the box, it really didn't latch a hold.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't have a full appreciation of what it is to be Catholic. I had no concept of what a rich gift my wife was giving me by not only giving me ultimately herself in our marital sacrament, but also bringing me into this church that is universal all around the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I thank God that I met Mary not only for being my spouse, but for introducing me to the Catholic religion and the Catholic faith and the Catholic way of life. I cannot imagine not being Catholic.
Now, as you began your family with Mary, you became more immersed in your parish. You were serving as lector, serving on parish council, and you were always fixing things in your churches. I remember you telling me that. So you're always fixing things. But it was when you and Mary became involved in Marriage Encounter that you began to get a deeper appreciation for the sacraments, particularly the sacrament of marriage. Tell us a little bit about that.
As I said earlier, a lot of the theology, a lot of the catechists of the Catholic Church was lost on me. And yes, I was a reader in the church, and that I understood. You know, I'm reading the scriptures, Old Testament, New Testament, Psalms, whatever. And I always knew that I wanted to help at church. And luckily, our church was in usually needed things fixed, so I was fixing things at church and doing stuff like that. But then Marriage Encounter came along, and I can say without a doubt, the two hugest things that's been in my life that's going to at least get me on the right track to go to heaven is being Catholic and going on a Marriage Encounter weekend, because it is when I went on the Marriage Encounter weekend where I finally began to get a clue on what the sacrament of matrimony was all about.
Mm-hmm.
Prior to that, I did not understand the difference between the covenant that we have as married Catholics and the non-covenant type relationship that our Protestant brethren have. You know, the understanding of what it is, the understanding that, you know, this is forever, and it's to reflect how God loved his church. I mean, that's why God made marriage. He made it so that we could understand how much he loves us. And what better way than to say, okay, you two people, you love each other. You give yourselves to each other unconditionally. You forgive unconditionally. That's how I love you. But see, it wasn't until I went on my Marriage Encounter weekend, and that subsequently my wife and I was asked to present Marriage Encounters, that, again, it takes me a lot of times to pick up on stuff. You know, I heard the talks many, many times, and each time it began to wear away, how you want to say, the facade that I had out front, you know, saying, oh, well, I got it together. And mm-hmm. It's like, wait a minute, no, I really need God as a center part of my life. And it all began to gel very quickly then when I began to understand what the sacrament of matrimony was all about.
And tell us about that, because having gone on those weekends myself and presented, we present a very strong case about our marriage and God in the middle of that marriage. How did that then begin to have you reflect on your own relationship with God?
There is a talk that used to be, in the outline for the weekend, and I think the name of it was Open and Apostolic or something to that effect. And in it, there are the question that you are to think about and to pray about and to bring into your heart is, what will I specifically do for God in my life? I can't remember if that's the question specifically, but it was something to that effect.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm there, and I'm dwelling on this question. And to me, Elizabeth, as as loud and as clear as you and I are talking today, God spoke to me and he said, Jim, I want you to be a deacon. And I said, okay, God, what's a deacon? because again, being down in southern Ohio, at that time there was only one other deacon in the whole county, and he was in another parish. And again, this goes back to my Protestant roots, where you get into a church and you stay in that church, and you really don't go from place to place. I didn't understand the universality of the Catholic Church at that point. And so I never really got to see a deacon at a mass. I didn't really get to experience what a deacon was, what they did, and who they were.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm there, and I'm saying, okay, God, I'll be a deacon for you. Not having a clue what it was.
You're listening to Deacon Jim Sturgeon, the deacon at St. Monica's Parish in New Boston and St. Peter and Chains in Wheelersburg, Ohio. He's calling in today from Portsmouth on Answering the Call here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, and I'm your host, Elizabeth Ficicelli. So, Deacon Jim, what did you do after that surprising voice that you're hearing in your heart to pursue this concept of a deacon that you knew absolutely nothing about?
Well, I looked into what it was to be a deacon and talked to the priest, and he said, well, you've got to take some classes and things like that to become a deacon, and then you have to, you know, and just kind of gave me an overview of it. But the classes were all up in Columbus.
Mm.
And living in, well, we live about 105, 110 miles away, and so that really didn't play well at that point, where I started thinking about trying to take the classes, because I'm thinking, okay, I have to work, you know, and I worked shift work, and so it's like, it's just not going to work out. So I just kind of put it on the back burner thinking about it, and I continued with my regular involvement at St. Monica's as, you know, lector, Eucharistic minister, janitor, fix-it, whatever. And through the wonders of God, Father Matt Hoover comes into our parish through the normal rotation of priests. And Father Matt came into the parish. He had been there for, a few weeks, maybe a couple of months. And we were having Father Matt up for supper. And Father Matt had been the director of vocations prior to coming to St. Monica, and he also had the assignment of St. Peter as well, because the priest who gets us, they get both parishes.
It's a package deal, yeah.
Yeah, and Father Matt came, and he was having supper with us, and we had a nice supper, and then after supper he said, you know, I'd made myself a promise that I wasn't going to solicit any vocations right off the bat when I came down here, but I believe I'm being called to ask you if you want to be a deacon.
Hmm.
And I'm sitting there at the table with Mary, and my jaw drops, and I go, well, Father Matt, yes, I believe I'm being called to be a deacon. And I related the story that we talked about earlier. And he said, let me see what I can do. And I didn't know about the formation process and the classes and all that other kind of stuff. So he says, let me see what I can do. And so he got back with me. He and I, we went to Columbus for an interview. It turned out to be with Deacon Frank Iorino,
mm-hmm.
and who is the director of the diaconate for the diocese. And later, Father Matt got back to me, and he said, we need you to take a test. And so there, it turned out that, and, you know, signed some papers and things like that, and so I was ultimately accepted into the candidacy.
It seems that God was determined to have you become a deacon, so he seemed to be removing these obstacles that you had thought were in your path, huh?
Elizabeth, from where I'm at today, looking back, things that at the time I never thought of as important, or just decisions that on my part for my career or whatever, I look back and I see God's hand literally from the time I met my wife to the time I got ordained as a deacon. Even in my professional career at work, mm-hmm. where I made a transition from from being an operator to being an instructor, which ultimately gave me helped me develop a skill set of being able to speak in front of people and to and then to take, you know, lessons and explain and teach operators how to operate equipment or do whatever. And so all this stuff. And then when Father Matt came and he said, well, here it is. And then it was like, wow, that's neat. And then so as you said, all of the roadblocks, all of the excuses just kind of went away. And yes, I did have to travel to Columbus for the classes. At that time, I was still working shift work, and so there would be times like, and Mary, my wife, she went with me to all of the classes, which was really, it was incredibly awesome for her to be able to be a participant in the classes with me, because not only did she take notes when I took notes, so in case she missed, got something that I missed, you know, a lot of times, like when I was working, she would drive home so that I could take a nap, because she would drop me off at work and then I'd work the rest of the night.
Right.
So all of these roadblocks slowly began to go away. And through the 3 years of classes, the intercession of the Holy Spirit to give me the wisdom to be able to pick up the theology, to pick up the different classes and all of this stuff.
Now, you shared with me that the diaconate classes were your, what you would consider for yourself, your first real catechesis of this faith that you had chosen so many years ago. So what was it like for you to really start learning the faith, to really sink your teeth into it?
Prior to the classes for the going into the diaconate, I had never picked up a catechism.
Mm-hmm.
And I started reading the catechism as part of the of many of the studies. And then I started reading other textbooks, other things that developed and that showed that, and it began to develop this yearning for me for more information, more knowing more about where we are, what we are as Christians and as Catholics, the, you know, the digesting of the scriptures, so that, you know, it's like, oh, that's what the Beatitudes mean, and you know all of this. But the classes was my real catechesis. And to this day, I love reading the catechism.
Mm-hmm.
I read scripture. I read scripture every day. I read the parts of the catechism every day, whether it be preparing for an RCIA class or if somebody at work has asked me a question. I'll say, and I keep my catechism at work, and I'll say, hold on, I'll bring it down, and I'll say, here's what we as Catholics believe.
It is an awesome resource for all of us, for Catholics and non-Catholics. It really does a great job explaining our faith. You know,
oh, yeah.
Deacon Jim, as I interview various deacons for this program, they all tell me the same thing, that balancing those two vocations, marriage and holy orders, is absolutely the most challenging part of being a deacon. So how do you deal with this difficult balancing act?
Sometimes not very well, other times marginally, but I must say, my wife, Mary, she is a saint on earth. She totally supports my involvement in the diaconate. She loves God. She has such a compassion. I see her truly as a saint on earth already. First off, because she puts up with me a lot, but she keeps me grounded. And there are times when she makes huge sacrifices for me to be able to be a deacon. Like, for instance, on Saturdays when I'm teaching RCIA classes, I usually don't get home until 8:30. Well, by that time, she's already got the kids bathed up and ready for bed, and a lot of times, you know, they may be already in bed, so she's done all that by herself, as opposed to me being able to help. But she has been so supportive. Now, she has given a lot, but at the same time, she also has the courage and to say, Jim, I'm your vocation too.
Mm-hmm.
And so I go, oh yes, you are. Oh yes, you are. You are you are my vocation of marriage. Mm-hmm. And I was married to you before I was a deacon.
Mm-hmm.
And so that brings me back to center. And if she does it in a loving way, she does it before it becomes a difficult point between us.
Right.
You know, she's got a wonderful sense of being able to see when I need to be reined back in.
And we've certainly been learning a lot about that on this program, how much the deacons' wives play a role in this vocation, the support, and you said it so beautifully. Our half hour is up. I knew it would fly. Can you leave us, Deacon Jim, with a blessing?
Oh, why, sure. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for all of our blessings. Thank you for our wonderful church. Thank you for the wisdom of the ages that you have passed on through the Pope, through the bishops, and that's disseminated out through your people so that we can learn to love you with all of our hearts. Be with us as we begin our Lenten journey. Let's know that, yes, we are sinners, yes, we have faults, but we can always trust in your unfathomable love and in your tons and tons and tons of mercy. All we have to do is ask. Be with us as we're on our Lenten journey and show us that mercy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
In the Amen.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Thank you again, Deacon Jim Sturgeon, for inspiring us with your faith journey as we seek to hear and answer God's call in our own lives. I'm Elizabeth Ficicelli, host for Answering the Call on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. I'm a Catholic speaker and the author of 14 books for adults and young people, including Where Do Priests Come From, Where Do Sisters Come From, and Where Do Deacons Come From. You can visit my website, elizabethficicelli.com, for more on that. In the meantime, I hope you'll join us next Saturday at 10:30 a.m. and Sunday at 4 p.m., for another edition of Answering the Call, where we'll be talking to priests and deacons and religious sisters and brothers about their spiritual journeys, how they heard God's call in their lives, and how they sought to answer it and serve our diocese today. So we'll see you next week. Have a great week, and God bless.
If you know a priest, deacon, or religious sister or brother that might be interested in telling St. Gabriel listeners how God inspired him or her to answer the call, please contact us at info@stgabrielradio.com.